right, welcome to the Garage Hockey Podcast. Welcome back for a third time this week, guys. We are breaking new ground.
An unplanned third time.
An unplanned, I guess we'll just, let's just address the elephant in the room. There's a reason we're here for a third time this week. And it's not that, like, honestly, it's not a very exciting reason, but we're going to be upfront about the reason, and that is that in our Eastern Conference preview, we actually forgot to preview the New York Rangers.
We forgot.
Like, I mean, how does that even happen?
It's the biggest hockey market.
Where did we go wrong?
It's doubly embarrassing because when you were drawing up the big board, we had every team listed in front of us, and we still, like on the computer. Well, we had it on the computer.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I actually had them written on the big board, and I actually erased them and then never put them back on.
Was that subliminal on your part?
I feel like it was indicative of the direction of this team. So let's get right into it. The New York Rangers had a 101-point season last year. Is that factual?
You know what?
According to NHL.com?
According to NHL.com, I almost fell out of my seat because I didn't realize they had quite that good of a season.
Well, I'm gonna throw a wrench into the value of points as a metric for quality of team play.
You mean where you get a point for losing?
Yeah. Like last year, the Rangers, here are the only four teams that were worse than the Rangers in shot attempt differential at even strength. The Vancouver Canucks, the Arizona Coyotes, the New Jersey Devils, and the Colorado Avalanche.
That is bad company.
That is not a group that you want to be anywhere near.
No, don't feel good about it.
The New York Rangers are an interesting team because they have a nice collection of talent, and I'm so tired of saying collection of talent because we've previewed like 30 teams this week. But seriously, like there is skill and speed up front for this team.
They do, and they improved this offseason. They brought in guys like Brandon Peary, who it sounds like may be the 13th forward.
But
Mika Zibanejad,
who looked really good in the Rangers' last preseason game. I think they played against Philadelphia.
Look at you.
Look at me. Hey,
Your homework.
I did my homework. Also, Pavel Buchnevich, you know what? I don't know if he's going to make the team, but he's a guy with good size, 6'2". He looked good. You know what? I'm seriously...
You might be our Rangers correspondent this season.
It sounds like I'm being patronizing, but I think the Rangers actually have a lot of good stuff going on. It's the thing where it may be, I don't want to say falls apart, but there are question marks on the back end, I think.
Well, I mean, let's, before we get to the blue line, let's briefly mention that they won the VC sweepstakes.
They did,
The V-sweepstakes, I don't know.
The Vinny VC sweepstakes.
Guys, we're going to hashtag that, the V-sweepstakes.
Yeah, they won VC Watch, there we go. Jimmy VC, who actually got boarded by Radko Gudas, I guess when they have that little corny interview with him this year where they ask him, what's your welcome to the NHL moment, maybe his answer will be, that time I got boarded by Radko Gudas, I felt like right at home in the NHL.
Yeah, I felt like this is what I played my whole life for.
Yeah.
All the training, all the blood, sweat, and tears was for this moment.
At home, specifically in that division.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, hey, I feel like maybe it's a rite of passage for young NHL players that you got to get roughed up by Radko Gudas at least once, and then you're in the club. But anyway, I mean, I like that they added Zibanejad. I feel like he's already a better player than Brassard and is probably going to improve. Chris Kreider continues to have that just kind of insane speed up and down the ice. I don't think Derek Stepan is that good, but, you know, I guess he's okay.
He missed a lot of open nets at the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the story of Team USA's tournament. Damn it, we couldn't go through a podcast that mentioned Team USA.
You're welcome.
Man.
I'm upset.
It's very upsetting.
Rick Nash is like secretly still in the NHL, for those who didn't know.
He might just be like the Giants, the San Francisco Giants, where he's just good every other year at this point.
Yeah, he's believing.
Like Marian Gaborik?
Yeah, but look, the Rangers, I mean, as far as an Eastern Conference team goes, they're right there in that middle of the pack, middle class. But I don't think I can say the same for their blue line. I think they're actually terrible defensively. And like, as I kind of already mentioned, the numbers bear that out. But I don't think that's so much a product of the roster. But you look at those blue liners, and it is ugly. Ryan McDonough's good to possibly very good. Dan Girardi is terrible. Like, is there any disagreement here?
No.
Okay, good. You passed the insanity test.
Oh, I did it.
Terrible and 32, so only getting worse.
Yeah, and then Mark Stahl, I think his best days are behind him. Kevin Klein is nice. I don't know what really to make of him, other than he's good sort of roster filler guy.
Last year, he contributed some nice goals, some depth scoring on the blue line. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's unlikely that he'll do that again, but, you know, maybe, you know, that it's, you know, I mean, he's 31, so he's not growing.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so it's unlikely he's going to do that again. But, you know, if he gets, you know, if he's more trusted with ice time, then, you know, maybe you could see it again.
Yeah, and then obviously in net, I think this sort of pillar, the rock of this team that we've seen for the better part of the last decade, Henrik Lundqvist, not getting any younger. And although I think he's still fully capable of carrying this team and probably will have to again, given just how bad they are at even strength, which happens to be the bulk of the game. I don't know. Like, it's going to be another tough season. He's going to have to. He played 65 games last year. Probably going to be around the same level again. I don't know. Can Henrik do it one more year, given how bad this team is?
He hasn't really given me a reason to think that he can't.
Yeah.
But, you know, like you said, getting up there in years, it's hard to predict when the trajectory is going to start to go down. But I think it's so interesting. I'm glad that they upgraded their forwards, and I do think they did that this offseason. But I would have expected them to maybe try and target a defenseman in the offseason and just lighten the load for Henrik Lundqvist.
Yeah, that would have been smart. But maybe having better forwards, you know, younger, sort of more speed up front, maybe that'll help a little bit. I mean, I think it will. Like, it has to. I think Jimmy Vesey's going to be all right. Zibanejad's already pretty good, and hopefully Peary can get some ice time because I think he could be good for them. Lundqvist is already 34, and it's not just the age. It's the miles on that body. He's played a ton of hockey in his career.
Yeah, he's a workhorse.
Not just for the Rangers, but also, you know, a lot of international competition. So, look, you want to believe he's going to be great again, but it happens at some point for every player, and especially for goalies, it seems when it happens, it happens fast, and it just sort of never gets better. Now, I could see him maybe going the Roberto Luongo path and sort of playing well into his late 30s, but I don't know. Like, I think Luongo, although he played on really bad teams early in his career for Florida, he sort of had a smoothing out period with the Canucks, who were really good for a while.
I mean, he is 34, so he's almost there, and he's still playing well. So it's well within the realm of possibility.
Yeah, and so if he's healthy, if he's playing fine, the Rangers are going to be in the mix. But I think one thing we have to discuss with this team is the head coach, Alain Vigneault. For whatever reason, I think that when he was brought on, you know, after his stint in Vancouver, there was a lot of optimism around the Rangers, and rightfully so. Like, he was considered by many to be a very good head coach.
And they got to the Stanley Cup.
And in his time in New York, they have gotten to the Stanley Cup final. But it just feels as if at this point he may have, I don't want to say worn out his welcome, but there is a sense that he's no longer really bringing this team up. And a lot of that is sort of, I guess, exemplified in sort of his loyalty to Dan Girardi, who he continues to trot out there logging big minutes. Although it's obvious to literally everyone in the world except Alain Vigneault that, like, Dan Girardi's terrible.
And NBC.
But don't forget, Dan Girardi leads the league in block shots. Oh, my God.
Oh, man, because he doesn't ever have the puck or his team.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need two goalies out there.
Right.
Yeah. So, Rangers, playoffs?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say playoffs.
I say no. They're not making the playoffs.
Really? Okay.
Because the way they went out against the Pittsburgh Penguins, they got lit up.
They did.
It was a 5-game series. It probably could have been a sweep. I see this team taking a step back, which was weird because they actually improved the roster. But I just think it's going to blow up at some point. Vigneault's going to get fired, and I don't know where they're going to go from there.
Those are scorching hot takes.
I'm feeling like it's lit right now.
It's lit. It's en fuego.
I can see them, you know, being as low as the wild card, but I I'd be surprised if they didn't make it. Having, even though before we turned on the mics, you know, we looked and they had 101 points last year, and my first reaction was that's going down. It's, I don't think it's going down so much. Like, it's not going to be like below 94, 95, you know, and I think that's going to be good enough to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think if you look at the Metropolitan Division, I think you can pencil in Pittsburgh and Washington for one of those top two spots. And then, you know, the Isles, Philly, they're going to be vying for that third spot. And I think that, I mean, I think the Rangers are good enough to compete with them, but it's no longer a sure thing. And even Carolina could you know, bump up in the standings. So that's going to be interesting. And then you look at the wild card spots, Boston, Ottawa, Montreal, Florida. There's a lot of competition in the East for those last two spots. And I can't really, you know, argue that New York is considerably better than any of those teams I just mentioned.
Yeah, you might be right, because I'm staring at the big board in front of us right now, and there's a real logjam that's going to be competing for the last three or four spots in the East. And, oh, man.
I think they missed the playoffs. Yeah.
You know what? You might be right. I think they're going to be very much in the mix, but I might have to go lukewarm here.
I mean, like, of course they're going to be in the mix because it's the East, and, you know, that's sort of how it goes in the East.
And the Rangers actually are not bad. They're just not...
They're not bad, but, like, it's... This might be the season where we're finally going to see all the sort of underlying numbers creep up on them and really become, you know, come to center stage, because I think it's a matter of time. Like, you can't play this poorly and have it not catch up to you at some point. And look at the Avalanche. They fought it off for like a year, and they haven't been relevant since.
Yeah.
The Rangers have been able to fight it off because Henrik Lundqvist is the best goalie of his generation. But, like, I don't know. At some point, you need a roster to sort of insulate him. And if you're placing a lot of bets on Jimmy Vesey sort of being that guy to, you know, take your team to, I don't know, maybe not necessarily another level, but, you know, really improve your team, like, I don't know if I'd be wanting to put all my money on an undrafted college free agent. Like, yeah. No disrespect to Marty St. Louis, but like besides that, it's not a great track record for those guys. And that's not to say he won't be a good player, but I feel like they actually kind of have a lot riding on him, which is not a place you want to be in.
Yeah, I mean, it is his first year, and then we'll have to see if they get a rebound season from Rick Nash, because he came down quite a ways after that. Did he score 40 goals 2 years ago?
He might have. I don't know.
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, Nick, you said no?
Nick said lukewarm.
But what we had in order from clockwise, we had firm yes, lukewarm.
Yes, they missed the playoffs.
Yeah, yes, they missed the playoffs. Lukewarm, yes, they missed the playoffs. And then no, they don't miss the playoffs.
Okay. Yeah, and I feel like the way we've sort of... I feel like our picks here are sort of representative of the different ways this season could go for the Rangers. Because, I mean, their young forwards are good. Let's just say, like, hypothetically, Lundqvist continues to be dominant. They sort of fight off the fact that they don't play a very good team game. Like, I could see that totally playing out and then making the playoffs. I'm just more of the mind that it's not going to go that way, and it's actually going to catch up to them.
Yeah, there are variables for sure.
It could go really either way for them. But yeah. I feel like both sides are very far apart. Like, I think if they slip up, it's going to be hard. They're going to be bad. And if they're good, if things sort of break right for them, they can be a very interesting team.
Yeah, but I think they may lean very heavily on the top line or top two lines. And, yeah. I mean, I guess you could say pretty much everyone does, but...
But not to that degree.
Yeah, not to the degree that the Rangers are going to have to.
And that playoff teams should.
Yeah. I guess to use, like, sports cliches, I would say their floor is, like, extremely low, and their ceiling isn't quite that high.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Like, there's a lot of potential for disaster here. But who knows? I mean, like, maybe if Vigneault is fired early in the season because it's just not going well, they bring in a guy who knows what he's doing, or at least, you know, just is sort of a fresh voice, a fresh approach to this team. Maybe it could be that Mike Sullivan effect. Like, I mean, the roster is there for a guy to come in and sort of optimize it.
Yeah.
It's not like they have, like, that's the thing that sucks with this team is it's not like they're bad. Like, there's good players on this roster. It's just you don't trust the coach to get the most out of it.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like you said, with the defense, they've got several guys that are past their prime and maybe were never quite as good as they were given credit for. So
yeah, it sucks because I remember when Rick Nash was finally moved from Columbus, it was like, oh, he's finally going to be on a contender. And like they didn't make it to the Stanley Cup final, but you never got the sense of like, oh man, he's going to be in that cup mix the rest of his career.
Yeah. Yeah, it just never really played out that way.
Yeah. All right. Any more parting jabs or maybe hugs for the New York Rangers?
You know what? I can say that I was completely off board earlier in the summer when we were talking about the Rangers. Like,
what did you say? I don't remember.
I was entirely dismissive of them.
Right? I mean,
like thoroughly dismissive.
And that point is sort of proved by the fact that we forgot about them.
Yeah. Now I'm only kind of dismissive.
I don't think there's a bunch to be optimistic about. That's just my whole thing with this team. All right, so
Rangers fans, thank you for listening. We're sorry that we brought doom and gloom upon you.
Yeah, Rangers fans, if you are still going to be listening to us, if you haven't hit the unsubscribe button yet, thank you.
Yeah, you are loyal, and we appreciate you.
All right, so a bit of news, a bit of housekeeping, I guess. Today, it's funny because two podcasts ago, we previewed the Western Conference, the Edmonton Oilers, and we talked a little bit about one Nail Yakupov. And just last night, I believe, rumors started popping up that the Oilers were shopping him, which, I mean, has kind of been I kind of dismissed the rumor because it was like, okay, hasn't this been a rumor for like 2 years?
It's like, I'll believe it when I see it.
You know how many articles I've read of like, why Nail Yakupov would make sense for X team?
Yeah. Do you know how many first round picks the Oilers have had since those rumors started? Rhetorical question.
I don't want to know. Yeah. But Nail Yakupov traded to the St. Louis Blues for a conditional draft pick and possibly a prospect. But the funny thing is, when I heard the news, it's like if the prospect isn't named yet and it's a conditional draft pick, I think that says all you need to know about
the name of the prospect.
He has been named.
Value. Oh, who is it?
It was, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Zach Pacioro.
Okay, so a relative unknown.
Yeah, I did a little bit of homework. He had some good seasons in the WHL.
Okay.
He was drafted 112th overall in 2013.
So he's... It doesn't, from what I have gathered, it doesn't sound like he is projected to be as good as Nail Yakupov was projected to be.
Mm. Yeah, I mean...
Which says a lot about how much Nail Yakupov's value has fallen.
I mean, is it fair to say now at this point, and like, I hate to go down this path, but I'm just going to do it, because why not? It's Friday. I'm feeling loose.
Yeah.
Is Nail Yakupov a bust? Like, can we just say that now?
I think he's still young enough that he has time to get this going in the right direction. But, I mean, so far, yeah, he's absolutely a bust.
I mean, this is going to be his fifth season.
Fifth season.
Because he started in the lockout shortened season.
That was his best season. He had 17 goals in 48 games. So
yeah, like,
that's about 30.
You know, I think it's fair to ask, is he a bust?
Oh, no doubt.
I don't think he's... I mean, because you watch him play, and he's clearly a guy who's capable of being in the NHL. I just think that there was a big sort of miscalculation on draft day. I think that the player valuation around him was all off, because you look at the success that like an Alex Galchenyuk has had, or even Ryan Murray, and Nail Yakupov's not even touching those guys.
No.
You know? Like, it's not even close. And it's funny, because the year where Yakupov was drafted first overall, 2012, I believe, Galchenyuk actually missed the entire year, or almost the entire year, in juniors with an injury. And looking back, and I haven't looked at the numbers or anything, but you could argue that maybe because they were on the same team, Yakupov got so much more usage that inflated his totals, maybe made him look a little bit better, since he sort of had the spotlight to himself on that Sarnia Sting team. Was it Sarnia Sting? Might have been. But yeah, so maybe it's just, sometimes I feel bad for these guys, because I feel like it's not their fault. It's maybe just the scouts did a sort of a crappy job of evaluating.
Maybe, but the talent is there. He's still pretty young, so I don't think he's going to be elite at this point, especially because there are issues with consistency.
I mean, I feel like we're just hoping he can, like, just kind of matter.
Yeah. I don't want to bring, like, the Russian stereotype into it, but, I mean, it's kind of...
Oh, no, I think it's fully in play.
Yeah, it's kind of a thing with him.
It's going to... That point's going to be interesting because, you know, moving to St. Louis, a much better team than the Oilers, and a much more defensive team than the Oilers, because they have defense. But Yakupov in his career is a minus 88 in four seasons.
That's bad. Even though plus minus isn't a great stat, that's pretty alarming.
Yeah. So, I mean, if he is significantly under even this season.
Yeah. It'll be telling.
Yeah.
But I just think with Edmonton, the way it's just sort of blew up in his face, I feel like he just didn't want to be there anymore. And, you know, like sometimes... I'm sure everyone's been in a situation where they didn't feel motivated to either go to work or motivated to, you know, go to an obligation. And sometimes if your heart's not in it, if you don't feel appreciated or it just hasn't worked out for you, it can be tough to bring it on the ice. And like, that's not to excuse him. And I think that especially the fact that he's Russian in a traditional Canadian market probably already put him behind the eight ball in terms of media relations to start with, which sucks because it seems like he has a great personality. He seems like a really outgoing guy. But, I just...
Some flashy sellies in the past.
It was just a mess in Edmonton, and I feel bad for him because I feel like so much of it was just media and just sort of wrongful expectations.
Yeah.
But now that we moved on from the Edmonton side of things, I think St. Louis... What's your assessment of this trade from a St. Louis standpoint?
Oh, it's great because, he's a guy that brings, speed and skill, and, what I was wondering about St. Louis when they got rid of Backes and Brouwer was, they're moving away from the more physical play to more finesse game, and Yakupov certainly helps that out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what the St. Louis GM said too, Doug Armstrong, is that this is the direction the league is going. It's going younger. It's going faster. It's going to the way of skill. So this is, I think, a good move for both sides. Yakupov, I think, needs the fresh scenery. Where do you guys see him fitting into the lineup?
Well, that's going to be interesting. I think, he could even be on their fourth line right now.
Yeah, that's how good they are.
He's probably going to start fourth or third line, which, I think would be fine for him because if he can be sort of that like speedy, offensively inclined depth winger, that's a great fit for him because there's no pressure to score goals. It's just like, hey, when you're out there, we want you to be making plays and sort of driving the puck into the other team's end. Like I feel like he can totally do that.
He's going to get to fly under the radar now a little bit because he's going to be behind Tarasenko.
He doesn't have to be the man.
He is going to get minutes at some point in the season because Alex Steen will get injured.
Yeah, like he's going to get a look, special teams possibly, maybe a top six role. But I think for, like you were sort of saying, Nick, for St. Louis, I think it's a good move because it's continuing that shift, that stylistic shift away from like sort of the rugged, grinding Blues we've seen the last few years to more of like an up-tempo, speedy, like more skilled team.
Yeah, this has been, I think, a good offseason for the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah.
After getting knocked out by San Jose, they've seen, okay, we see which way the game is going and we're not going to ignore it.
Yeah,
And they made the necessary moves. So I have to applaud the St. Louis Blues this offseason.
And they secured their post Ken Hitchcock era with Mike Yeo.
And we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
If
he can screw that up, then that'd be impressive. This roster.
That would be an accomplishment.
Yeah. All right. So I think that's our thoughts on the Neil Yakupov trade. One other bit of news this week: Connor McDavid is your new captain
of the NHL,
of the Edmonton Oilers. I think to no one's surprise, he was named captain, especially the way the Oilers hyped up the fact that especially the way the Oilers social media hyped up the way McDavid was captain of Team North America. I feel like the writing was a bit on the wall that he would lead this Oilers team.
Oh yeah. McClellan and McDavid, both on North America, all but said that he was going to be the new captain. Like they basically, I think they even said as much as like it's a trial run And it's like, okay, just say it.
But is this the right pick?
I mean, Milan Lucic is right there. McDavid goes down.
Yeah, man. No love for Milan.
The question had to be asked. I just love that little, like, sort of, I don't even know what to call it, where, like, the doors slowly open and all four of the, or five of the captains walk out. That was hilarious.
That was so the opposite of the Miami Heat when LeBron joined with Bosch and Wade.
Yeah.
Right, was that the door to the locker room? Was that an elevator?
It was to the locker room.
Okay. All right, wait. Because they stepped out and the doors started to half close and then they weren't fully out and they opened again. And oh my God. Like, did they just, how big is that elevator?
Production value on that gets like a 2.
Let the locker room dysfunction rumors begin.
Hey, at least none of them were wearing flip-flops.
Yeah, and they all had their hands in their pockets, which I'm sure was like not by accident.
Yeah, they're supposed to. I'm sure they're supposed to look like magazine.
They just look like
clothing models.
They just look like a boy band, right?
Yeah, they kind of did,
especially with McDavid wearing his white sneakers.
I mean, McDavid looks 12, so
that would not be a good looking boy band.
Yeah, I mean, Milan Lucic looks like a brick. So
he looks like a brick.
He got hit by a bunch of bricks.
But the other assistants, it's Eberle, Nugent Hopkins, and there's one more, I think.
And Lucic.
Yeah,
they have 3 alternates.
Oh, I thought there was 4.
No. There's normally 2 alternates.
Not unless someone missed the bus.
Wow, that's an insult to Matt Hendricks. Yeah, that was tongue in cheek. Yeah, I mean, good for the Oilers. They did something smart. Like, I think, you know, for a team like that, which is so capable and willing to do stupid things, let's give them a little love when they manage to do something smart.
And bold, naming the youngest captain by, what, 20 days?
Oh, man, I'm sure they looked at that and were like, you know, we want that record. It's a great precedent.
Everyone strives for it, right?
Well, I feel like this is the first step in what is going to be the year of Connor. I think Connor.
Hopefully.
Connor McDavid. I'll just, you know, I'm full of hot takes tonight, so I'm just going to throw out another one. Connor McDavid's going to lead the league in scoring this year.
How many points is he going to get?
That's a good question. I think he's going to lead the league with, I'm going to say.
Does he crack 100?
I'm going to say 94 points.
You don't see triple digits?
No, I was thinking 97. Because.
His jersey number?
Because, yeah. Of course.
Yeah, I mean, somewhere, yeah, but sure, like somewhere in that 94, 97 range, but I don't think anyone's hitting 100 again this year.
Really?
Dude, I mean, scoring's going to go down again. Like, we're going to get that article halfway through the season. What's going on with NHL goal scoring? I don't know. The refs don't call anything. Like, that might be a place to start.
Yeah.
But goalie pads are smaller now, man.
Oh, yeah, that's totally the problem.
And they don't even have to use them this year, right?
Yeah, like, oh, that's the other thing. There's been, like, you know, reports from, like, NHL goalie coaches or, like, private goalie coaches in the summer where they said their guys aren't even using the new gear because they don't think they're going to have to. So it's, like, it's a joke. Yeah. The NHL doesn't understand. Like, it's so funny how obvious the problem is. They just let everyone hook and hold.
Yeah, call penalties when they're supposed to be called. That'll mean more power plays and then more goals.
Easy. Yeah, and then subsequently, if guys know they can't, like, that hooking someone will you know, have consequences, then it's going to free up the ice because guys aren't going to do it, and then you're just going to get a better flow of play. So.
Yeah, and it'll be easier to get to the net, and that's where goals are scored. So
yeah.
I think we just solved world goal-scoring hunger, guys.
Yeah, I mean, we just definitely concluded that the net is where goals are scored.
The net is where goals are scored, and McDavid is hockey Jesus.
Really? Calling penalties, which are supposed to, one, help prevent injury, two, help prevent a team have an unfair advantage,
yeah,
is going to increase scoring?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What a ludicrous thought. But, yeah, I think that's sort of what we got today. A shorter pod than the last two.
An abbreviated pod.
But honestly, I think that we hit everything pretty well, and we're officially done with previews. No more.
Yes.
No more.
Yes.
We
finished that literal 1% of our Eastern Conference preview.
Like, I guess to sum it all up, the Rangers suck. McDavid's going to be great, and Neil Yakupov is a decent third liner.
Good ad for the Blues.
Good ad for the Blues. Yeah.
Ready for the season now.
Good for them. All right, boys. Let's get on to the weekend.
Let's enjoy our Friday, boys. Guys, we hope you enjoy your Friday, too. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Garage Hockey Podcast, the three-peat this week. If you want more, You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. You can holler at us on Twitter at Garage Hockey Pod. Guys, I said it last time, I'll say it again. We'll see you when the puck drops.